going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
...himself within it, and obviously you can never go wrong deferring to Steph. Facilitating, getting guys open looks. You've seen the immediate impact. He's absolutely made the team better. But for elite levels, I think Jimmy's got to be Jimmy. And I'm not necessarily seeing that right now. So
no, it's
don't,
fair.
Don't take it out of context. Don't take it out of context that he's playing bad. But we've seen 50-point triple-double Jimmy in the NBA Finals. You understand?
No, I hear you. And, that's why I asked for an elaboration. I just wanted to hear your point
Absolutely.
Of view. So final, let's say, 5 minutes of a game. And this is obviously... There's no context to how well someone's playing or foul trouble. But if you're from the Rockets' point of view, who would you rather have the ball in their hands? Or I guess who would you rather not have the ball in their hands, Jimmy or Steph?
Oh, Steph. Steph can't touch it. I mean, Steph hit a shot. Fellas, those shots that Steph hits, you God bless him. You say your prayers, and, like, you saw it in the Olympics. Guys, you've seen it over and over again. Like, he's the guy, like, with five, I don't know another person on this planet that can hit the shots that he hits. Like, it was near perfect defense. All I can say is, like, 5 seconds, go trap him. I might give up, like, a contested three or two to somebody else. Like, he's shown, like, that was what he did. That's out of this world. It was out of this world, and you guys are like numb to it, like, it's Steph. No, it's crazy.
I don't think we are, actually, because, like, quite frankly, we feel like we've seen every shot he's ever hit, and even the one the other day was like, you got to be kidding
me. Even Jimmy Butler on the TNT broadcast ride, they panned Jimmy Butler after Steph made that shot that Kevin Harlan on the broadcast said geometrically that shouldn't have been possible. And Jimmy looked around like, well, this guy's my teammate? Oh, this is a lot better than Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. All due respect to those guys out in Miami. Ryan Hollins with us here, Rockets TV color analyst, 10-year NBA vet. All right, Ryan, ultimately, who wins this game tonight and why?
I think Houston wins it. This is still a really deep, a really tough basketball club. I think they're gonna outwork them. I think they will settle down. The one thing about being young is the only thing that they can do is get better. And you can shore up things like free throws. So I do believe that Houston wins this game. Now for Golden State, they're playing with house money. And if I know anything about Steve Kerr is going to be thinking about the long game. And one thing Steve Kerr is going to do is this game kind of gets out of hand. Play 10, 11 deep, rest his guys and say, see you in Golden State. But they're not deep enough to really go to war. And if this thing gets to a point where they're down 10 or 15, I don't see Kerr pushing it out. I see him kind of resting and saying, no, we'll see you up in the Bay. And I think there would be wisdom behind that. So there's a real potential that they could concede this. I don't want to say concede this game, but if it gets too far, he says, you know, like I said, I'll see you later.
Real quick, one more squeeze you in here, Ryan, because a conversation that's been dominated from our airwaves all the time has been Jonathan Kuminga being a DNP. And it's like, oh, Jonathan Kuminga, oh, his stock is falling since the Jimmy Butler trade, and he's trying to get paid this summer, and there's so much baked into the conversation. When you previewed this series, Were you looking as Jonathan Kuminga as a potential X factor for the Warriors, or were you even not even paying attention to him when it came to the matchups?
It could be the reason that Golden State loses this series, because they're going to get beat up inside. And what's crazy is Kuminga's like a rocket killer. He's really good against Houston. With all due respect, he's probably played his last game as a Warrior. I can't see him coming back. I think there are emotions involved. And what he's essentially told, Steve Kerr has told the front office, is that I don't want him here. I don't want him here. He's not going to be here. I'm not playing him. I don't trust him. This is when you put your guys on the floor. Now, to his credit, he's very young. He's talented. And, yeah, this is a series where you would need Kuminga with his size and athleticism to match the athlete to Houston. You got Amin Thompson flying in, Tari Eason flying in, Jabari Smith Jr., and he fits that mold. He can match up with those guys. Now, who I was surprised by is Quinton Post. Post was really darn good, man. I thought he had really good possessions, played hard, threw his body around and did things, but if I'm another team, I'm in hot pursuit of Kuminga this offseason. And for Golden State, they probably just say, "Let's give me some picks back. Give me something that I can work with."
Hey, Ryan, good stuff, man. We really appreciate it. Good luck on the broadcast tonight, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, anytime, guys.
Thank you. Knows, that is Ryan Hollins, Rockets TV color analyst, 10-year NBA vet. He had a lot there.
Woo.
Now you know why he was on First Take a couple of years ago.
Need to cool down the mics.
Yeah. Where do you want to go from that one? As you're listening to 95... real quick. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the Free Odyssey app. And now, broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios, it's a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Sorry, I didn't mean to pump fake you there.
Right. Let me close the hatch on a couple things quickly. Look, he could say whatever he wants about Jonathan Kuminga. Personally, I've said this player, that player, for the Warriors, for the Niners, the Giants, oh, there's no way that guy can come back. And somehow, some way, like the Undertaker, boom, there they are, you know?
Jimmy
Garoppolo is a great example of that, you know? And so there's lots of guys that you think have played their last pitch, snap, you know, offensive set.
You're going Justin Bieber. Never say never.
I won't. You never know what's going to happen. Okay. That being said, I get his point of view. He's a player. I can see where he might have a feel for where JK's head's at. We don't know where JK's head's at. I do have a little bit of empathy for him, but I also understand that at the same time, we're in the winning now business. He also said, which I thought was the more important one, like, hey, they're not used to this physicality. I mean, don't we say that every year when the Warriors are in the playoffs? That you're just not ready for this team's physicality.
Right, every single time. I feel like we've heard that ad nauseum in the last decade, right, when it came to the Memphis Grizzlies, right? That was the whole thing. It was Memphis going up against a jump-shooting team, and they were labeled as soft, the Golden State Warriors. Well, that was Charles Barkley. You know, that was his special there. So
yeah, so they're basically going to call us soft until the very end.
Correct.
And, okay, fine. You know what I mean? They called the Niners finesse for many years. The finesse-ass 49ers, quote-unquote, as people used to say. And so that's fine. Let them say that. This being the biggest game of the season for the Rockets, I agree with him 100%.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said this is, if you lose tonight, you're done. Your season's over.
All the pressure is on them. And what's going to happen tonight is they're going to come out fans on fire, team on fire, and it's up to the Warriors to maintain calm and keep it within striking distance, just like they did in the first game. If you look up and it's a 4, 5, 6 point game in the first quarter,
you're chilling. I came away from that game in that first quarter from the Rockets perspective, like, yeah, 3 points isn't enough. Like,
not enough.
Like, you dominated that first quarter.
Not enough.
You should be up at least double digits. And as we've known, these last decade, basically, a 20-point lead is really a 10-point lead, and a 10-point lead might as well be a 5-point lead. That's how I look at it. It's just you're a couple shots away from getting right back into the game.
100%.
I was watching Oklahoma City and Memphis yesterday. I'm a sick person. But I was watching. I was like, all right, well, I guess they're hanging around. It's 10 points. Ja makes a move. And then every single time, it's either Chet hitting a three, Hartenstein offensive rebound, put back, Caruso knocks down a three. It just Shai Gilgeous isn't even doing all that much, and they're still dominating because Jalen Williams is doing his thing. That team is so damn deep and loaded. They might have that run where we just didn't give them any respect, and they just blow through the whole West. That might happen this year. But I also don't feel like the Grizzlies are so checked out. Poor Coach Tomas. Like, that guy was thrown into the fire and is having no chance with that squad. They want to go to Cabo already.
You know, it really is interesting, though. Like, when I hear people talk about the game one, the amount of people talking about the 9 missed free throws, this isn't a good free throw shooting team.
No, they're not.
And they're not a good shooting team. Well, they missed 9. Well, they didn't miss 19. They missed 9. Okay. Well, you lost by 10.
Yeah. Shout out math.
But, am I tripping?
No, 6 of 29 from beyond the arc. How about that one? Can you knock down a couple of threes, Fred VanVleet? 2 of 13.
Of 13. You shot 6 more than the Warriors. They made the same amount of free throws. I don't know. I find it interesting that we've glommed onto. I mean, you just can't miss 9 free throws. So what, they're going to go 95%? Like, the greatest free throw shooter of all time is Steph Curry. He's in the 90s, yeah. Okay? So, okay, even if they miss, let's just say, they make 6 more free throws, you're still, I don't know. It's just.
Going back to that Ryan Hollins interview, it was great. If you missed any of it, go to YouTube, go to the Free Odyssey app. You can find it there. He's a little, again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, like, he doesn't think Jimmy Butler's at 100% yet, which is interesting. Do you think he's playing at 100% Jimmy Butler right now?
What do you mean? Like, health-wise or skill-wise?
I don't know. Both.
I think he's playing great. I think he's playing winning basketball.
I do, too. But so I thought that was very interesting that he even said that, because he feels like he's still waiting, which I think is the big narrative, right? People are waiting to see playoff Jimmy from the Miami Heat days, when in reality, that's not who he is on this team anymore.
But also,
his teammates aren't Gabe Vincent,
yes,
and Max Strus
and
the Goran Dragic's of the world and Bam Adebayo,
Duncan Robinson,
Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. That's not this team anymore.
I totally agree.
It's got Stephen Curry, who's infinitely better than anything he's ever had in his entire career when it comes to teammates. I love Joel Embiid, who wasn't an MVP. Nothing close to what Stephen Curry is as it comes to a 1A or 1B.
Pick the sport. When a player changes teams, their game alters a little.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it just does. Think about Peyton Manning. How many, when he went to Denver and he couldn't move as well, how many of those pistol formations did he go into, which you never saw prior to that?
Well, you know what they are going from? They're going from Tim Tebow to Peyton Manning.
I know.
You cannot think of a more polar opposite offense when it comes to those two guys and shifting from one to the other. But that's what good organizations do and good coaching staffs do, is what Steve Kerr has done. And he's talking about leaning into the ISO ball a little bit more, being a little bit more uncomfortable with that. And that goes back to his playing days in Chicago Bulls. What do they do a lot? A lot of ISO ball with who? Michael freaking Jordan.
Yeah, but
not saying Mike is Jimmy. Everyone calm down.
Although there is a rumor that he's his son.
I don't know if that
is the most absurd rumor.
You know what? Do you want more from Jimmy? Ryan Hollins seems to think that there's more to Jimmy Butler.
It's kind of surprising.
I'm going to ask the question. 888-957-9570. Do you want even more from Jimmy heading into game two? We'll get into that on the other
side.
And
my number one thing that I'm looking forward to, from the Rockets' point of view, of what they absolutely have to do today.
Joe Shasky's one big thing on the other side. And that's brought to you by Ceremony Ford. Employee pricing for all is on now at Ceremony Ford in Colma. You pay what we pay. No markups, no nonsense. Stop by Ceremony Boulevard or shop 24/7 at CeremonyFord.com. Ceremony Ford, from America, for America.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Must win for the Rockets if they have any hope in this series, which I don't think we kind of knew, but to hear from the Rockets' perspective, like, they know how important this game is tonight. And if they get up to a big lead, can they hold it? And will the Warriors lay down at some point, as he was alluding to, if they feel like, eh, you know what, let's rest, we're going back home, Chase. See, I think if you keep it around 10, 11, 12, like, I feel pretty good if I'm the Warriors, even if they have that lead throughout. Like, when push comes to shove, when things get tight in the fourth, who's taking those last couple minute shots for Houston? Who?
They don't know.
But I think that's what I'm saying.
That's a great point. When I look at, like as Oklahoma City is on my screen right now, it's really hard to get three or four stops in a row against a team like that.
Yeah.
Right? So when they get a lead on you, you know, their offense almost becomes insurmountable.
Yeah.
When I look at a team like Houston, they go lots of times throughout the course of a game with three straight misses, right?
Yeah.
And so that
yes.
kind of plays into being able to fight back, even though the game may be like in the 80s right. or in the low 90s in terms of score. You can get three or four stops in a row and score two or three times in a row and boom, wipe away a 10-point lead.
888-957-9570. We want your participation today. We do have one more guest, Dave Fleming at 8:30, Giants broadcaster, the Brew Crew, beating up on the Giants yesterday. We'll get into that with Dave. And maybe revisit Dave's take last week about he'd be shocked if the Rockets won this series against the Golden State Warriors. He is fired up, and I'm sure he thinks the Dubs are going to win tonight. Or maybe he doesn't, and he thinks it's going to go five or six games. Just win tonight. And I got to talk about the arrogance meter potentially tomorrow. You win tonight, Joe. Like,
and this is why I'm worried, though, tonight. Because, see, to me, the Houston Rockets are on the other end, and they're saying to themselves, we have got to do something to get underneath Draymond's skin. And
what is that thing?
I think it's just all the little stuff. And we know what those things are. You know, Şengün loves to initiate contact on dead ball situations, basically boxing out before the ball's even been handed to the guy to inbound it, you know, when the referee's holding it. We know that Dylan Brooks, he just loves to be extra on everything.
Well, his hair, too. Yes. He does. He does.
And Fred VanVleet is going to try to get his chest up in you at all times. Well, I think the game plan is pretty simple. We are going to mug Steph Curry nonstop. We are going to agitate Draymond Green at every single level, and we're going to try to get under your skin.
And is that good enough to win a game in which you still can't shoot? Like, that's
a start.
That's where I'm getting at tonight. If the Rockets, they can't be any worse shooting the ball.
You aren't really, you have very little faith in the Rockets, huh?
Well, yeah. Look, did you watch them play the other day?
Well, I fear them. I think they're vulnerable.
Stop.
I think they're vulnerable. I always am scared of a team that's fighting for their quote-unquote lives of a full season. And I think that they can come out and play a better half-court basketball where they take better shots, hit more open shots. I think that they can get a lot more defensive stops, which fuel their transition game, which leads into their athleticism, which plays right into what they want to do.
See, I think the only way the Houston Rockets can win tonight is if it's a comfortable lead throughout. Like, and I'm not saying a blowout, quote-unquote, but if they maintain a 10, 12, 15 kind of point lead throughout, that's the only way. Because if it gets single digits in the fourth quarter, I know who I'm putting my money on to close.
I would agree with
you.
I would agree with you there.
And by the way, here's Ryan Hollins, who also is echoing your same sentiments as I am, that this is a must win, and the season is on the line for the Houston Rockets.
The season is on the line tonight for Houston. I don't think, not that it's impossible, but with the youth, you know, no one wants to be staring at 0-2, and even more so, with a young team, confidence. They don't know how to win in the playoffs. They're still learning that. So once they get that win, they can go, oh, this is how it feels. This is what it looks like.
And the mentals, like for the young guys, he alluded to it right there. I wasn't even talking about that, but that's a part of it. You don't win the series on paper tonight, but the psychological damage that you would put into that Houston Rockets locker room would be massive. Now, Ime Udoka, he's a guy that's gone to the finals as a head coach. He will try to get those guys fired up for Game 3 at Chase Center on Saturday, but it would be very difficult to envision a scenario after tonight, if the Warriors win, where the Rockets couldn't climb back in the series. And at that point, where it would go for the Warriors is, can they get it done like sooner rather than later, because the last thing you would want is this to creep into 5-6 games, anything like that, and then you would feel like, eh, maybe you squandered an opportunity for more rest. So that's why I'm looking at it from that perspective. I'm getting greedy. Win this game tonight, because I know how important rest is for Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry, and Draymond Green, all three of those guys being 35 or older.
You ever heard of the banana in the tailpipe?
Yeah, Guru says that one a lot.
Does he?
Yes.
Well, I think it originated in the 70s, so that doesn't surprise me.
He's not falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
Yeah, basically. The car won't start when the banana's in the tailpipe.
Yes.
Da, da, da.
Yeah.
So tonight, like, obviously staying out of foul trouble goes without saying for all the guys. But in particular, I think Draymond Green, when he gets the ticky-tacky fouls, what does he do? He kind of loses focus, starts jarring at the officials, and then what does Houston want to do? Start clapping in his face and doing all that stuff. This I'm telling you, with Ime, with Dylan, with Şengün, this is all about psychologically, mentally staying as even-keeled as possible. The last thing that the Warriors need tonight is a losing his frame of reference, losing his focus, Draymond Green. I think it starts with his emotional control tonight. I'm putting a lot of pressure on him. I think that Steph's going to be some version of Steph. Jimmy's going to be some version of Jimmy. You saw him teetering the other night. You saw it could have gone in two directions, and he stayed the path of calm, and it really benefited the Warriors. He stayed on the floor. Obviously, he could help them, and I just think that it really hyper-focused them. The last thing he needs to do is to agitate other guys on the other team and just go crossing the line and allow the fans and everybody and the refs to just get in his dome. I'm telling you, this is a big, tonight is a big stepping stone for Draymond Green proving to me all the stuff he said. I'm a changed man. I'm dedicated to just
champion
trying to win.
Champion of change.
Exactly. Tonight is a night, like, honestly, I'm being very sincere here. I think tonight can really dispel a lot of the, really, Draymond, have you changed? Like, don't be getting the banana in the tailpipe action tonight.
Knowing you're going to get the Rockets' biggest punch tonight early on and throughout this game, who needs to step up for you tonight most, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570 is the number you can call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And let's go out to Ryan, who's in San Jose. He's fired up for Game 2
let's
tonight.
Go.
Good morning, Ryan.
Let's
How
go.
We feeling, man?
Man, I've never been so fired up for a game. I mean, we've had a great run for a long time. But if you lose Draymond and you have Steph locked down, when we had Klay, I mean, he's a perimeter shooter. We had no one like Jimmy to then go into the, you know, into the paint, cause havoc, and can take over a game if Steph is locked down. We've never had a second big guy who can just take over. Klay was good, but we lose Draymond. Let's say he goes off and becomes Draymond again. He's gone. Everyone freaks out. Jimmy's been there. Jimmy's been the guy that if he needs to take over and Steph's at lockdown, we got someone else. And I feel really confident. Before, we didn't have anybody else. Now we got Jimmy. And at first, I was really skeptical about bringing him on the team. And I was like, may not be the great fit. I'm excited about next year. I'm excited about the offseason. I want to see a whole offseason of them planning of Steph and Draymond and Jimmy and whoever else they can bring on with free agency and just see what happens. Because right now, I mean, yes, we might be in the honeymoon phase, but if this is working the way it is, I'm excited about seeing a whole offseason, you know, with this team. So fired up out tonight. Don't think that they got much that they can do against us. You know, it's going to be on our side more than anything else, but fired up, and guys, have a great night or a great day.
You know, I'll worry Thanks, about the right. offseason and the offseason.
Things can change. Let me real quick on that. Things can change drastically depending on, let's say, Ryan. They lose the series. Then you're looking at the offseason all different.
Well, and that starts tonight. Anything's on the table.
Exactly.
But
so
I don't even want to have to
No,
that.
That's why we're not worried. Like, you need to focus on the here and now. You might not get an opportunity to have this type of draw in the first round where it sets up this way that it might go on a deep run in the Western Conference. I can't even speak to that next year. Who knows? Maybe you're a playing team again next year. I don't know what's going to happen. All I can worry about is right now, Joe, and tonight, and putting a stranglehold on this series if I'm the Warriors. And I know the Rockets are going to come out swinging. And I know I have Stephen Curry and Jimmy Butler. Now, am I going to get the games that they had the other night on Sunday? And we talked about that. And we did this exercise yesterday. Do you need more or less or the same from all the players that played on Sunday? And I think both of you and I were in lockstep saying if we can get the same Steph and Jimmy games that we had on Sunday, you'd be happy with that. 31 points.
Close to it.
So 56 points, so around 50 points combined would be great.
I think that's reasonable.
Some efficiency from both of them. Yeah, I think so. Well, and Jimmy on the defensive end was just a godsend. Five steals? Are you kidding me?
But the thing I love about the way that Jimmy's been playing right now, and this is why I'm kind of like, not that I'm eye-rolling, but I'm eyebrow up on what Ryan Holland said. Like, oh, I haven't seen the real Jimmy. Like, I don't think they need scoring Jimmy.
Well, we have that sound that you're alluding to.
I'd like to.
So Ryan Hollins, who again joined us last hour, Rockets TV color analyst, 10-year NBA vet, Ryan Hollins. You can find that entire interview on YouTube. He's still waiting for more from one Jimmy Butler.
That Jimmy Butler is really good. Like, he's playing 40 minutes and he's pacing himself through those 40 minutes. But Jimmy still doesn't look as comfortable as you'd expect in a Golden State uniform. Doesn't quite look like Jimmy Butler. I don't think he has a problem deferring, but he's not the Jimmy that we've seen. Not to say that's not in there, but I don't know if they can win with him not being at 100%. Right now, he's at 80 to 90. There are moments where he takes over. Looks like he's looking to be more of a facilitator than score. And then kind of he's saying, hey, after everything's settled down, then I'll score the basketball. Definitely smart move to play through Steph. But I don't know if that's Jimmy being the best version of Jimmy. And we'll see what that looks like tonight. Now, Jimmy comes into play. I don't think that's something that that Houston's really quantified for.
It's so funny how we view these things, because I watched that game and I thought Jimmy was brilliant. I thought he picked and chose his spots brilliantly. I thought that he would hit a big bucket late on a midi, play great defense. I think that situationally he's been amazing. You know, I always used to see, it's like, well, I mean, you know, Jerry Rice didn't do X, Y, and Z. Well, yeah, because he did all the bulk of his work in the first three quarters.
Right.
And then at the end of the game, you ran the ball down their throat with Roger Craig. You didn't need Jerry Rice at the end of the game. You picked and choose your spots.
Yeah.
You know? And so I look at Jimmy Butler kind of playing like on a team similar to the way that 80s 49er team was, in that it was balanced. And so, yeah, you do your work early, and then situationally late, you pick and choose your spots, and it's a better version of you. I don't think the best version of Jimmy is 45 every single night, dragging this team to near exhaustion. That's not the best version of Jimmy. I think the best version is what we see right here, where, hey, Steph takes a couple of possessions where he's the primary, you're the primary, a couple other possessions. You can hunt certain guys off ball defensively. At times, you take the main assignment on the perimeter defensively and you lock down. But I don't think wearing himself to the nub for all 48 minutes of a game is the best version of any player.
No, you don't want that at all, because as much as we love playoff Jimmy and what he did with the Miami Heat, you saw it taking a toll on him in the finals, in the conference finals. The wear and tear is there, and then he's going to have some bad games because you know what? He's the only player on those Heat teams that was getting his own shot off anytime he wanted, and then he was forcing it. And because no one else was making the shot, he had to put it all on him. Now he's got Stephen Curry. Again, we have to get this out of our mindsets. And I'm not saying Ryan Hollins is doing this. This guy's played in the league for 10 years. He knows his stuff. But I do think there's some bias, and it's hard for us to separate the two. There's Miami Jimmy, and there's Golden State Jimmy. There are different expectations for both of those players. In Miami, he was 1A.
Yeah.
In Golden State, he's 1B. He is. At times, he could be 1A, but he doesn't need to be that guy that he was in Miami.
Won by 10 going away.
They did. 25 points for him, 10 of 19, and it didn't feel like he was rushing or he was doing anything out of the ordinary.
Thought he was brilliant.
I thought he was controlled. I thought he was calm. And you followed up that question to him because you were a little like, huh, really? Because I think he's been playing well. So this is your follow-up question to Ryan Hollins and how he responded on why he thinks Jimmy doesn't look quite comfortable yet in Golden State.
The Jimmy Butler as a 1A, Jimmy Butler as a 1B is really good. But I think there's moments where he can even look for his shot more. It's not that Jimmy played bad at all. I think Jimmy's doing an unbelievable job trying to fit in and trying to do the things necessarily for the team to win. But I think for big, big success for Golden State, he's going to have to be even more aggressive. And again, he's a great defender. He knows how to fit in. He knows how to cut. But he's playing within the offense. And Jimmy's a loud personality. You've got a loud game. And I'm not saying that right now. It's not that saying that he's playing bad. But I still think with this trade happening midseason, he's trying to figure out how to be the best version of himself within it. And obviously, you can never go wrong deferring to Steph, facilitating, getting guys open looks. You've seen the immediate impact. He's absolutely made the team better. But for elite, elite levels, I think Jimmy's got to be Jimmy. And I'm not necessarily seeing that right now.
I think another way to phrase it with what Ryan might be trying to say is, are we seeing the best version of Jimmy Butler right now? Is this the best version that we will see of Jimmy Butler in a Golden State Warriors uniform? Because I do think there's a little bit more he could do, and he still has moments to, like, this is game two we're on. Like, can we, like, relax a little bit? That was game one of round one of the NBA playoffs. There are still many, and I mean many moments still to happen in these playoffs, and we hope there are many more, because that means we're talking Warriors basketball for the next month or so. But I do think there is still more to Jimmy Butler, and there is a big Jimmy Butler game still to happen. That was a big game in game one, but even bigger than that, because there's going to be nights where Steph might not have it. We've seen it. Steph might not have it, and Jimmy's going to have to take over. Is this the best version we are seeing of Jimmy Butler right now? Or could he be better?
I mean, there's two different questions. Like, are you more statistically prolific, or are you making more winning plays, right? Because those are two separate things. Let me ask you this. Best version of Kobe, best version of him, was it with a dynamic number two or a number one and he was the number two or whatever, whether you thought Gasol or Shaq? It wasn't him by himself.
No, well,
I know that.
He was asked the question, actually, I think when he retired. He said, are you picking eight, like, which was with his number eight, or are you picking 24 Kobe with Powell? And he said, I'm picking number eight. He's like, I think I was a better player. I think it was more physically ready. And I had Shaq. Like, there was part of that was with it. But he said he was picking eight.
Okay.
But, again, I hear you.
If you ask Dwayne Wade, Dwayne, what was the best version of you? Was it when you were solo act, or was it when LeBron showed up and the two of you worked in tandem?
Probably LeBron.
Exactly.
Because he heightened everything about him.
I just, in NBA, I don't know why we do these things where we're like, you're like, oh, my God. You know, for example, the game that when all the guys were hurt, right? KD got hurt and Klay was hurt. And Steph went for like 47 against the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. What an individually prolific game. And he was brilliant in that game. You ask him, would you rather do that, or would you rather have 30 and win by 10 going away like he did in game one against the Rockets?
Right.
I think almost every single player in the history of the game, outside of the selfish ones, would choose the I'm more efficient, better version, got more left in the tank at the end of the game, and we win by 10 going away.
I think people get so upset about super teams or tandems, and it's like, you need to do it by yourself. It's why we hold that Dirk Nowitzki run in such high regard for the Dallas Mavericks. It was Dirk. It was one of the great. And listen,
he played with Jason Kidd, Sean Marion.
I know.
Jason Terry, like they were.
I know.
It was like a who's who of Tyson, some of the best players.
Tyson
of that
Chandler.
Era.
Yes. There was very good team.
Even though they were old, they were really good.
Yes. But it was the run, right? They got through the Lakers. They got through the Spurs, the Thunder, the Heatles.
Kawhi did it alone.
Exactly.
Like, even though Marc Gasol, Lowry,
Pascal Siakam.
I mean,
Fred VanVleet was
Ibaka.
Really good. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there were other players that were really good.
But we love to do that because I think what the Warriors did is when they got their quote unquote super team and dominated the league, everyone else felt some type of way about it. So now we go hyper in the opposite direction. And there's, listen to what I'm about to say. There's people that probably believe if Jimmy Butler wins a title this year, people will hold those Heat runs that he had individually and not winning a title on those runs higher than winning a title with Golden State. Like, it sounds absurd.
No, they're not.
No, they will, because they're saying, well, he did it with not a lot of help. Like, that was incredible.
Were, like, barely a 10 seed when he got here.
I know. And he was a big reason. Like, he is probably going to be the reason. Him and Steph, if they do indeed win this thing, it's going to be 1A, 1B. It's going to be Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown. It's like, who won the finals MVP?
Joe, you name a champion, okay?
I'm just telling you, that's what it's...
You're right. You're right. And it's so dumb, the exercise. But you name me a champion that didn't have contributions from the others.
There's none.
There's not one. Like, everyone brings up the big three in Boston, right? That one title. Dude, as a local guy, Leon Poe. Like, right. If you just say that title, the first name that comes to my mind, Leon Poe. You know what's the second name that comes to my mind? And this is me, James Posey.
That's
he was
a good one.
Freaking awesome.
I think of Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo, exactly.
Might be the most underrated point guard in his era.
Were any of those guys the best players on that? No, but they
Andrew
all had
Perkins?
Moments. They had
Eddie
moments
House?
In those games. You know what I mean? Like, Steph in 2022, which, let's go local, right? Steph in 2022. They don't win that without Clay. They don't win that without Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah.
They don't win that without Draymond and Looney and even Jordan Poole having moments.
Yeah.
Right? There's so many different guys.
The Elite had a moment.
Exactly. So it's the first takery, and I bring up someone like Perkins, like the way that we talk about this game, basketball, disproportionately to how the game should be discussed versus the way the other sports, it's just, it honestly is a headache for me.
And there's people I want to talk about, Greg Filmo.
It really bugs me. It's like, come on, man. We've been watching this game forever. If you're a fan of the game, like, teams win and lose. Yes, of course, stars are going to carry the day. Teams win and lose.
Listen, and Ryan Hollins is within his rights to talk about it. I want to be careful here because he didn't say Jimmy's playing bad. He did not say that at all. He says he's actually playing pretty well. I think he could be playing better.
I don't want. If Jimmy's going for 50-something, that means everything else on the floor is not working well.
Well, he's an aggressive, more of an aggressive mindset shooting the ball.
It's like picking and shooting. I wanted another Jimmy ISO down the stretch when that game got a little close. That's a reasonable thing to say.
Right.
But I need Jimmy to score 58 in this game.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
I do not want that, any scenario at all.
That's predictable.
Let's go to Filmo Mike.
What's
he
up,
has some
Filmo?
Thoughts on these Ryan Hollins, Jimmy comments. Filmo,
what's
how
up,
you doing?
Filmo? I miss you, buddy.
Hey, man. Ryan Hollins. Y'all ain't see that clip where Ryan Hollins got a messed up hairline? He did something. But, man, he don't even believe himself, man. So, with that being said, I don't like how he was talking about Jimmy Butler in regards to himself. Like, why does that matter? You know what I'm saying? It's almost like when Warrior fans be like, well, I want Steph to get it. I want the Warriors to get it.
Thanks.
So I can care less if Jimmy Butler is, you know, he's not at his optimal self. Are the Warriors at their optimal self with Jimmy not being at their optimal self? Well, okay. Well, if that's the case, well, I want that. I don't want Jimmy at his optimal self and the Warriors not at their optimal self. I want the exact opposite. So, like, I don't really care how Jimmy looks on that level. I care how the Warriors look. Mm. And I just feel like Ryan Hollins, he's kind of like getting in his, he's trying to be loyal. I mean, he kind of got to do that. You can't go in there and you the person and be like, oh, I think the Warriors are going to win. I feel like if the Warriors don't pull at Minnesota Timberwolves, they can win the game. If they stick to the script, people say the Rockets didn't play that well. Well, the Warriors didn't play that well as well. The Warriors could have played better as well. So, like, if they just stay focused, I agree with you, Shasky, to a certain extent with Draymond. This is a game where I feel like Draymond could really like he could keep them in the game to the third quarter, and then Houston look up and it's like, oh man, we got a dogfight again with them. And that's when they're going to start getting nervous. I totally agree.
I completely agree with you.
Thank you, Filmo.
You know,
I'm looking up that hairline, by the way, Ryan Hollins. He did pull a Carlos Boozer at one point with the spray paint on top. I'm not mad at the guy. My hairline.
What do they call that? Beijing, isn't it like Beijing ink or something?
Well, I just call it the spray paint because that's what it looked like. But that's all right.
It has a specific name.
You know what? I'm not in a position to be complimenting or talking about other people's hair.
I'm losing mine at the top. Right. It's not good. Yeah, look at Carter.
I am too.
It's all right. Sam's flexing on everyone back there with the golden locks.
I wouldn't know that feeling. I learned though, like with the Walter Goggins, if you just grow your hair longer and longer, you could slick it over the bald spot.
Thanks. It helps when you're like a millionaire too, like Walton Goggins, but I won't get into that.
The point about like, I just want the Warriors to win, I feel the same way. And this whole thing about like credit, and it's just absurd.
It's what we do now. It's who gets more credit for wins? Finals MVP was something we talked about ad nauseum. Well, Steph doesn't have a finals MVP until he finally got one.
Joe, when you lose, everyone's an orphan and we place blame on individuals. When you win, everyone reaps the reward.
It's specifically
everyone.
But it's specifically an NBA thing. Have you noticed
that? Because of the way the game's discussed by people like Kendrick Perkins. Like, and it's a disservice to the sport as a whole.
Like, are you knocking Tom Brady for not getting a Super Bowl MVP against the Rams that one time because it went to Julian Edelman?
Who was the MVP of the finals last year? I don't even know.
Jaylen Brown. It was Jaylen Brown. No, that wasn't, and it was a talking point. Okay. Well, Jaylen Brown's a better player than Jason Tatum because Jason Tatum had a better
game six or five, whatever they beat him. As Peyton Pritchard, who I said all year was going to be sixth man of the year, got sixth man of the year.
There you go. Did you put money on it?
What?
Should have put money on it.
Well, no, I just talk about it every day as a living.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got to like my try-hard white guys off
you
the bench.
You love your try-hard.
I do.
Austin Reeves, big game.
But no, but like they made a great trade for Holiday. They brought in Porzingis, which was a big risk. Horford's been around forever. That's a great team. Yeah. You know what they don't care in Boston? Who won finals MVP?
No.
They don't care. They just know that they finally won a championship with that core.
They want the banners. They want to be one ahead of the Lakers. They want to keep winning and winning and winning. It doesn't matter who wins finals MVP.
Look, at the end of a guy's career, you want to stack things up and look at it. But, like, come on. Like, Edgar Renteria won the World Series MVP for the Giants that year. I thought it should have went to Lincecum. Do I lose sleep over it? No. You know why? Because in Giants fans' hearts, Tim Lincecum is forever immortalized. Because they won.
You know what's funny? Well, I shouldn't say funny because it might happen. Is if the Warriors do win the title this year and Jimmy Butler wins the finals MVP, I'm just telling you, there are going to be some people calling in.
Yeah, they're called losers.
Well, they're going to be feeling some type of way about it.
Yeah, well, you know what I'll be feeling some kind of way when we're on
Market
Street.
You're going to get a Jimmy Butler jersey is what you're going to be doing.
When we're on Market Street and we're all celebrating, it won't matter one iota. No one will care. No one will be riding BART into Market Street to celebrate at the parade. And like, oh, it should have been Steph as the MVP. You know what they're going to say? Steph got his fifth. This team got their fifth. Can you believe that he has more than LeBron James?
Right.
I don't think we're even going to care at all. Like, we're not. We're not going to care at all.
Some people will. 888-957-9570.
I would argue it wouldn't be even more improbable than the 2010 championship for the simple fact that I thought this team was dead in the water.
Of the Giants, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It would be one of the most improbable championship runs. It would wipe away 2022 in terms of improbability. It would be I'm talking about in season, how you felt. Like, I knew the 2010 team was a good team. They went on a tear. It's like, wow. Now winning the championship, well, that was like a stretch. I thought this team was a lottery team. I literally made an argument. Maybe you should think about possibly pooping for Coop.
Poop for Coop? Let's go.
Well, it'd also be the lowest seed to ever win in the NBA history.
Yeah.
I mean, see, I didn't even contemplate that. What is the Rockets currently sixth, like in 94 or whatever?
Now,
93?
The Heat did get to the finals, I think, as the seventh or the eighth
They were the eighth seed.
So they did get to a finals, but they lost to the Denver Nuggets.
That would be the conversation I'd be having, which is like, wow, how improbable is this? How great is it that I thought Dre was cooked a couple years ago and they came back and won this? Steve Kerr, my God, how can we ever doubt him? Like, those are the things I would be talking about. You know what Kendrick Perkins would be talking about? Jimmy's title. It's this guy's. Right. That's like, dude, no one here cares about that. It's only
the NBA, and that's a little bit why the sport's covered that way, because fans, some fans, I put in quote-unquote, like it talked about that way. And I think that goes back to Skip Bayless, Stephen A. There's a whole history of how the game is talked about today, and it goes back to them. And that's a whole different story.
Why can't we do this? Why can't we do this? Wow. This version of Jimmy's the most efficient we've ever seen because he's got Curry on the team. You'll never hear it phrased that way.
Well, you just did. There you go. You start the narrative, Joe.
I'm talking about on First Take.
I know. Well, get on there. Shannon Sharp, he's going to be gone on a leave of absence. You get in. You fill in. All right? You go on with Stephen A.
I mean, this is like when the Niners, you know, won running the ball down your throat. Like Raheem Mostert was unbelievable. And Jimmy only threw 8 times.
Greg, Canada.
Just win, baby.
Greg, thank you. Shout out Al Davis. Greg, what you got in tonight's game, man? How are we feeling? Good morning.
I'm feeling great. Shout out Al Davis. I'm a Raiders fan, so that was hilarious.
Let's go.
I just want to say I got the Henny ready for tonight, but I think Brian Hollins might have already been on the Hennessy talking about Jimmy's not assertive. That's 3 straight games he's taken 19 or more shots. He didn't do that for the entire year.
Wow.
And I think you guys talking a lot about First Take. I think that might be why Ryan Hollins ain't on First Take anymore. But the reason I really called in was because I want to see Guy Santos play 15 minutes or more in this game. Put him in instead of Looney. Put him in instead of Buddy. He gives us spread offense while still crashing the boards, giving us energy, high IQ, a lot of Juan Toscano-Anderson-type vibes from him. Thanks a lot, guys. I took the answer off the air.
There you go. It's Greg in Canada talking about wanting more Guy Santos. And I think a lot of us came away from that game 1-7 minutes for Guy, 5 points off the bench. He had a rebound. I liked what I saw from Guy Santos. Had a 3-point shot. It's in spurts, though. I don't know how much I want him.
Play 31 minutes.
I don't want maybe 20 minutes of him, but maybe 10, maybe look, between that, 15.
If Dre were in foul trouble, he would be a guy that I would look to have an increased role. And again, like a relatively increased role. It doesn't have to be huge.
And again, that's why we're talking about, you know, who's stepping up tonight. Draymond Green, can he not fall for the bait?
I think it's a big Draymond game.
It's a big Draymond Green.
And I don't mean scoring, but I would like to have him score in the half court.
That'd be nice, right? Exactly. Moses Moody, he had some big shots
but
there
he's got the
fourth quarter.
Real quick on this. Like, in the half court early in the game,
yeah,
Dre does have the mismatch. Fred VanVleet, you can back him down. You can cross him over. I feel like he's going to lay off you so you could shoot from beyond him. Like, if we're going to go matchups and talk about Steph, and like, Dre's got a really good matchup offensively if Fred VanVleet is going to guard him.
Talking about like, the Warriors youth and their young players, here's what Steve Kerr had to say yesterday on with Willard and Dibbs. If you missed any of that interview, find it on YouTube or the free Odyssey app. Steve Kerr every single week with Willard and Dibbs right here on 95.7 The Game. Kerr on the key for the Warriors youth.
You know, the biggest thing is our young guys, all they have to do is follow the lead of Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, and Loon. You know, our vets who have been here a million times, they're going to lead us. Our young guys just have to play as hard as they can and let it rip, and I think we're going to have a lot of success.
It's easier said than done. I know what Steve's saying there. Just follow, just you know, a couple Hall of Famers and just follow their lead. And Kevon Looney as well.
Hey, Joe, just pretend to be Radnich.
No, yeah, I'm Howard Stern. Yeah, thanks, my first show. Okay. But I know what he's saying. Like, try to feed off their confidence.
Yes,
right?
I would agree.
And he was talking about that afterwards, that balance between that confidence and also feeling that pressure and trying to feed off of it.
We feel the normal pressure, but I think we all feel confident and excited because it's also the most fun time of year. And really the key is to find that balance between, you know, recognizing that, yes, it's important. Yes, it's the playoffs. Yes, there's a lot on the line. And, oh, by the way, it's a basketball game. You know, nobody's life is on the line. Nobody's health is on the line. This is this should be fun. And so you have to find that balance between the importance, but also the joy that comes with competing. And if you can, it's what Phil Jackson was, honestly, he was the best I've ever been around in that regard. Just finding perspective and finding a really good place in which to thrive during the playoffs. That's what we're searching for.
Zen master.
There's this whole like mental side of sports, which I believe is so real. We don't talk well enough about it and we don't understand how to talk about it. And I think a lot of players, when they're struggling, struggle to find solutions and how to cope with it. But like, the game is so mental. And that's why like Moses Moody hitting a couple of big shots at the end of that game. Now he's thinking positively for multiple days and he's feeling good. And there's a pep in his step, you know, and Pod's making a couple plays. Like, these are young guys whose like playoff confidence can be shattered or created by just hitting a couple of early buckets or making a couple of big plays. And you see this a lot, like in these playoff series where, oh, so-and-so is really scared of the moment.
Right.
Think of LeBron with J.J. Barea guarding him. And like that it felt like the weight of the world was on him. And we all knew LeBron was great,
yeah.
Right? We all knew it, but you couldn't watch the final 3 or 4 minutes of that game. Like, why is LeBron just passing so quickly?
Yep.
Psychologically, something happened to him in that moment, right? And obviously, he eventually overcame those things. And now, you know, I don't think of him in clutch moments like that. I think for Steph, there was a lot of stuff about clutch moments, which obviously feel ridiculous in retrospect. But these guys do feel it. These moments are different, and some deal with it better. Why was Derek Jeter a better player in the playoffs than he was in the regular season?
He just rose to the moment, rose to the occasion.
Right? Why was A-Rod not a better player in the playoffs?
Say Kershaw, another one, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. They're Hall of Famers. I've seen it. Like, I know who they are, but didn't rise to the moment.
Three, really. Dave Stewart was better in the playoffs than he was in the regular season. He was great in the regular season.
Yeah.
Madison Bumgarner. I mean, just go right down the list. Yep. Andy Pettit. There are some guys that just... Big Shot Bob,
yep,
Robert Horry. Just Steve Kerr, John Paxson,
Jimmy Butler.
There are certain guys, and that's why I do believe the psychology of sports is something that we don't have a firm grasp on how to discuss it, but it's a big factor.
Well, and that's why I love when he references guys like Phil Jackson, who's obviously at the forefront of all that when it comes to the mentals of the player, and I think Phil was one of the first proponents of that when it comes to the mental side of sports and leaning into that, allowing guys and knowing what makes his players tick, and you know what, either giving them some space or being hard on them. I look back, and obviously we're referencing this because Steve did, and Steve played for Phil Jackson. He played for probably the two best coaches in the history of the sport, Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich, and he instills a lot of the same philosophies from both those guys. And you look back on that that 30 for 30 doc, right, the Jordan doc on Netflix and on ESPN, talking about, you know, Dennis Rodman needing a weekend or a day in Vegas just because he needed to, because he was so uptight and wound up, he needed a release. You know what? Go do your thing. You're going to come back to practice. I don't care if you're hungover. And you know what? Dennis Rodman did come back to Vegas, outworked everyone while he was hungover. And, you know, that respect that he garnered in that locker room for Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, all those guys looked at Phil like, man, maybe this guy knows what he's doing, right? He knows a thing or two about this.
Think about how different, like Jordan almost needed to create an enemy in every game.
Oh, I took this. It's a meme. I took that personally. Every single time, right? He had to have an edge.
Some guys play better angry, yep, right? Some guys play better with happiness and joy. Yep. And I put Steph in that category.
Yep.
And he's just driven naturally, but I feel
need
like
an arm around them kind of a thing. It's like, hey, man, you got this.
He just plays better when he's happy.
I think Pete Rose spoke to this. Obviously, when he was a manager, but as a player, he's like, there's three different things you could do.
I always say this.
You could leave him alone.
Yep.
You could get on their ass.
Yeah, kick him in the butt.
Kick him in the butt. Or don't say anything at all. Or
put your arm around him.
Excuse me.
They need a hug.
They need a hug.
Just everybody's different.
Or arm around him is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of the guy where you just leave me alone. Yeah. Just, I get it. I know what I did wrong. You don't need to tell me anything. If you want to, that's fine. But you don't need to harp about it. Some people, you know what? You need to get on them. Like Phil Jackson, I said he was leaving Dennis Rodman alone. When he was a Lakers coach, he slapped Pau Gasol, like angry, yelled at him on the court. Like, dude, get your head in the game against the Celtics that first go around. Like, you need to, like, come on, dude.
And some guys need to be, like, propped up.
Yes.
Emotionally, mentally, you know, whatever, by their teammates. They need to gain that confidence. I remember Eric Spoelstra talking about Duncan Robinson. He's like, Duncan, if you don't shoot, there's no point in me playing you.
Klay Thompson, I think, was one of those guys where it's like, you need to put their arm around him.
That's
like,
a good one.
You can't be going at him. You know, like, we're up against it. We got to hit the injury report. Let's do it. Come on.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Dude, we're getting a lot of A's injury reports. Oh, my goodness. The A's saw Zach Geloff take a step closer to returning to the field. He took some batting practice with the team before their game against the Rangers last night. The hope is that by the end of the week, the A's will have an idea of when his rehab assignment can start. Geloff has missed the start of the season since undergoing surgery on the hamate bone in his right hand back on March 26th. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We'll get back to the Diamond at 8:30 with Dave Fleming, voice of your San Francisco Giants and R95.7 The Game Giants Insider. We'll also get into the 49ers draft tomorrow. OTAs took place yesterday. Purdy showed up. All right. Fred Warner showed up. George Kittle did not show up. And John Lynch spoke about that yesterday. And also Ian Rappaport of NFL Network had some thoughts on that as well. Plus, we'll dive more into the series on the other side. Game two tonight, Houston Rockets, Golden State Warriors. It's Spadoni at Shasky's The Morning Roast, 95.7 The Game.